that's all I'm thinking about. So much of the time, how soon, and very soon I'll leave. Oh, yes, lately I've got leaving on my mind. Lately all I've got is leaving on my mind. Oh, it seems that's all I've been thinking about. So much of the
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, is that the truth or not? Amen. Every day we get up, we're getting one day closer to leaving. Praise the Lord. I don't want to own anything here that I can't say bye to. Do you? Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? How many of you are just glad to be in church tonight? What a privilege, what an opportunity God has given you and me to be back in the sanctuary of the Lord to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Why don't you turn around, look at somebody. If you want to shake their hand, that's between you and them. But tell them, God bless you in the name of the Lord. It's good to see you in church. All of you. Amen. God bless you, brothers.
Lately I've got leaving on my mind. The old house that I'm living in.
Amen.
Is needing.
Yes, it is.
And the shutters are letting in the cold, cold air. I say to myself,
thank you, Lord,
fix him.
Thank you, Lord.
When I can find the time, but all I've been getting lately,
yes, Lord,
is a leap.
Somebody say praise the Lord. Well, God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated for just a little bit tonight. We've got several several prayer requests that we want to let you know about. I want to have prayer tonight for Brother Baker. He went to the emergency room yesterday. The rescue squad came and got him. He spent 7 hours there. They found out that he has vertigo and a thyroid problem. He needs your prayers. Very urgent that we would remember him. His blood pressure was 200 over 197. So we certainly want to pray for Brother Baker and the Baker family, that the Lord would just be mindful of our brother. Been here a long time, Brother Sister Baker has. Been here in this assembly a long, long time. And we appreciate him, don't we? We certainly do. Sister Rebecca wants to thank the Lord for healing her of an infection that she had this past Sunday. Somebody say praise the Lord for that. Amen. Sister Janet Kennedy says to please pray for Brother Eugene. About a year ago, his insurance quit paying for his feeding tube food. He can only eat small amounts by mouth, and everything chokes him. He is losing weight again, so they're asking that we would remember that situation, Brother Eugene, that the Lord will just be mindful. Sister Linda Kennedy needs prayer, been having severe pain and cannot rest, so let's remember that. I want to pray for Brother Andrew Kennedy, has had a bad cough for a long time, needs healing. Let's remember that tonight. Sister Janet Payne sits us in. Brother and Sister Love, did I get that right? From New Zealand. They asked the church to remember them in prayer. Their son accidentally ran over two cyclists, and one of them passed away. The other one is in the hospital. Also, Amanda Holt asked for prayer for her aunt in a nursing home. So we certainly want to remember that need tonight. Those folks, that the Lord would just be mindful of them. Brother Gene Terrell had surgery yesterday and suffered from nausea. He's resting at home. So we want to remember Brother Gene in prayer tonight. Continue to pray for Brother Randy Scott. So let's remember him tonight. Special unspoken prayer request for a family member. Brother Bobby Hayden sends that in. And I don't have anything on it. And I'm sure he probably would want you to pray for him. But Brother Randy Babb fell and broke his leg yesterday. Am I right on that? Broke his leg right above the ankle. And so he's going to be facing surgery, I believe, this coming Tuesday maybe. So let's pray for Brother Randy Babb, that the Lord would just be mindful of our brother tonight. The Brother Martin sends this in to the library. Please remember my wife Florence in your prayers. She has something wrong with her muscles in her body. It is going through a lot of severe pain right now, night and day, presently walking in a walking ring. After multiple scans and x-rays, blood tests, the doctors cannot find anything wrong and are puzzled. This is nothing but the devil. About 5 years ago, we sent a request for prayer to Happy Valley for her when she was suffering from breast cancer, and she was miraculously healed. We are looking for another miracle. Thank you, and may God bless Brother Martin. So somebody just say, bless the Martins. Amen. You have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about, and Brother Donnie and Sister Carol tonight, I guess, over in Kentucky, death in their family situation over there in Kentucky. So let's pray that the Lord would just be mindful of all that situation, that God would just comfort their hearts. We're serving a wonderful risen Savior tonight, aren't we? Do you love Him with all your heart? Could we stand tonight as we get ready to pray? Brother Fred Perry, we're going to sing just a little bit more. I want you to come tonight, lead us to the Lord in prayer. Brother Harry, sing that second verse to that song, if you will. We'll do the chorus, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer on behalf of these requests tonight.
I guess should be looking for a better place to live.
Oh, yes.
But I can't seem to get excited about this world and all it has to give.
Oh, yes, Lord.
I couldn't care less if I could buy it all with a solitaire.
Amen.
lately all I've got is leaving on my mind. Oh, it seems that's all I've been thinking about so much of.
Request I want to mention tonight, don't have a note on it, but Brother Jerry, Sister Linda Phillips, their daughter's father-in-law was killed in a car accident last Saturday, and he actually passed away this past Wednesday, but he had the wreck last Saturday. So let's just pray that the Lord would come, just a loving man, pastor of a Baptist church here locally, and let's just pray that God would comfort their hearts as they go through this time of bereavement. You know, we're living in a very hurting world. A lot of people are hurting. Most everybody got hurts in their lives. But I'm so glad for one thing. Hurt and disappointment and all the problems that we have to face, it's only temporary. It's only for a season. It's only for a little while. We're going to a better land. We're going to where no aged people will ever be there. You're going to be young forever. No aches, no pains, no sorrow, no trouble. Hey, it's worth going for. It's worth fighting for. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's give him a big hand clap of praise tonight. Brother Fred, God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you, Brother Fred Perry. We like this guy right here, don't we? We love you, Brother Fred. Appreciate you, buddy.
Let's all bow our heads to the ground. Heavenly Father, our precious Lord, we come to you tonight, Lord, and we want to invite you here, Lord. We want to invite you into our presence as we gather together, Lord, as a body that you've put together. We want you to come, Lord, and open the windows of heaven for us, Lord, tonight, that we can have the Word of God living within us. And Father, we're just human beings, Lord, there's not much we can do. We can take a great big stallion down to the river, but we can't make him drink. Like our loved ones, Lord, we can take them to the water, to the well. It's a living water flowing daily, but we can't make them drink, Lord. But one thing we can do, Papa, we can sure make them wish they had drink and drunk of this well, by letting your love flow through us. And Papa, as we pray and as we lift up these prayer requests to you, it's big in people's eyes, Lord, and some may be bigger than others, Lord, and some may be desperate, Lord. But we ask you to reach down, Lord, and give them a drink of water, of those living waters, Papa, that come forth. We ask you, Lord, that the ministry that comes forth tonight, the waters will flow from the belly of this minister, Lord, and feed everyone that's thirsty, that's hungry, Papa. We come to you, Lord. We want you to be in our presence. We welcome you. We need you so much. Papa, there's nothing we can do but just ask you to come and believe, because we're your children. And around the world, the missionaries, Lord, are preaching thy word. We ask you to bless them, Lord. Bless the singing, Lord, as it comes forth. The magicians, Lord, bless them. Father, we ask these things in thy name. But most of all, Lord, that you'll be in our presence and that you'll bless us, Lord, by thy word. And that we'll pull on the gift, Lord, that you've placed before us tonight. That others, Lord, and though they might not see, that they may see. And though they might not want to drink, but they may drink. Because of love that flows from the bride of Jesus Christ that lives in this day. We ask all these things in thy precious name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Fred. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor tonight in the service, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that would be streaming the service, we want to pray that they would receive a great blessing tonight from the service. I said visitors, we are very glad. How many visitors do we have with us tonight? Would you just raise your hand if you're a visitor here tonight? Well, look at all of them. My goodness, just everywhere. We got all kinds of visitors. Praise the Lord. Well, we're glad you're here. God bless you tonight. Praise the Lord. Let's sing a song. I'm a soldier. Yes, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. Are you glad you're a soldier? Are you really glad you're a soldier? Are you glad that God calls you to be a soldier? Give him one more hand clap of praise tonight if you love him. The Lord. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated tonight. I want to share just a small testimony with you tonight. Sister Lisa Cutts, she's here somewhere. Come on and get ready to sing for us. Brother Brandon Green, you come on the platform, be getting ready to sing. But I was talking to Sister Patty Nunn and Brother Jeff last night. Maybe the night before. But anyway, just to show you how God will use people, and sometimes you don't even have any idea why you're doing what you're doing, but you're serving the purpose of the Lord. Many years ago, Brother Terry, Brother David Nunley, Sister Patty, they moved to Texas. They went to Texas. Brother David was going to try to find work. And so they came upon a job site, Brother David did, and got to talking to a man, just a plain old human being, construction worker. Brother David got to talking to him, and
Led him to this truth. Led him to the message of this hour. Led him to the message of this hour. We know Brother David's been gone from us now for a year or so, maybe a couple of years. But Sister Patty, Brother Jeff and the family, they got a nice letter from this family in Texas thanking them so much for the life of Brother David Nunley and for their lives, how that God used them to bring this family to the message of the hour. And I just thought, you know, Brother David's long gone, but his testimony lives on. And his work that he did for the Lord lives on. I'm telling you what he's enjoying on the portals of glory right now. But I just thought, sometimes you're doing something you don't understand what you're doing. You don't have no idea why you're doing it. But if you're led of the Lord and you feel good in your spirit about doing what you're doing, you may be serving an eternal purpose for the Lord Jesus Christ. I just wanted to share that, Sister Lisa. I hope that's okay. I just wanted to share that tonight. We're glad you're here. Hey, Sister Lisa's going to sing for us. Anybody seen her? God bless her heart. I give her a hard time, but we sure appreciate her.
It's my desire to live for Jesus. It's my desire to live for Him. Oh, though often I felt Him and brought Him shame, it's my desire to live for Him. Then you would know the reason why I love Him so. Now you can take this world, its wealth and riches. I don't my desire to live for Him. It's my desire to help someone today. Someone who may have failed to see the way, for I too was once so lost, but then He found me. Now it's my desire to live for Him. If you could see where my Savior brought me from, to where I am today, then you would know the reason why I love Him so. fame. It's my desire to live for Him. Oh, it's my desire to live for Him.
And some road maps out here real quick. My wife asked me to try this one, and I believe the songs that's been sung and some of the things Brother Louis specifically said, I feel like I believe it's the right time to try it. Y'all pray for me.
This world was not what it was meant to be. All this pain and all this suffering. There's a better place waiting for me in heaven. Every tear will be wiped away. Every sorrow and sin erased. We'll dance on seas of amazing grace in heaven. In heaven, we're going home where the streets are golden. Every chain.
That's a good song, isn't it? That's nothing but the truth. I just want to tell you one other little thing before he sings some more of that. Brother Joe Harris coming tonight to minister for us. Brother David Siler was telling me just the other day, he had been somewhere to preach. Brother Joe had been there a few services prior to Brother David being there. And the pastor was just telling Brother David, and Brother David said, Brother Louis said, my ministry and Brother Joe's ministry, it's as different as daylight and dark. And they have no ministers preaches the same way. But he was telling the pastor, or the pastor was telling Brother David, Brother Joe's ministry so blessed our assembly. And it, Brother David said, it just made me feel so good to know that God is so diverse and he's got such a God of variety. He'll just use any ministry he wants to bless a congregation. Brother Joe's here tonight, going to speak for us. We're going to pull on the gift of God. We appreciate our brother, don't we? Amen. We certainly do. You just sung enough of that to make every one of us mad. Let's sing some more of it. Appreciate Brother Brandon Green, don't we? God bless our brother.
Thank you, brother. You know, coming to church and sitting back there in the back, it feels like I'm already home a lot of times. You know, we sing about like heaven's this faraway place, but honestly, sometimes I feel like we're there, you know. Now I can't sing.
Every tear will be wiped away. Every sorrow and sin erased. We'll dance on seas of amazing grace in heaven. Got any other desire than that tonight, you're in the wrong place. While you're standing, if you'll turn in the scriptures with me to Acts 19, we're going to read verse 13 through 16. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons, one of Siva, a Jew, and chief of the priests which did so. These men were trying to cast out devils without authority. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? That's bad when the devils don't know who you are. And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overcame them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. I'm going to read a quote, Brother Branham, in 65, January 65, of God Rich in Mercy. And the title of my sermon, if you'll listen as I read this quote, you'll see it, but is Who Are You? Now we are a part of God.
You always was. You don't remember it because you were only an attribute in God. You were only in His thinking. Your very name, if it ever was on the book of life, it was there before the foundation of the world. He knew who you were. But Bram says, I'm not saying this not to mix up doctrine, but to straighten it out. But we might get away from this fear and scare that you don't know who you are.
Yes.
You're not going to be, but you are now sons of God.
Glory.
See, you always were the sons of God.
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, it's filled my lot tonight, Father. But Lord, I ask, Lord, that you take control, Father. Lord, that I may be a vessel, Lord, that could be set aside for service. Lord, if they've come to hear me, if you don't come, Lord, it's just dirt speaking to dirt. That's all it is. And Lord, and they would leave just with human knowledge. But Lord, if you anoint it, if you anoint me, Lord, and his brother JD was back there telling me, Lord, a while ago, if just everybody in here had a desire to be anointed when the word goes forth. Lord, what a move we would have. If everybody in here looks to hear from you and not from me. If we perceive, Father, that this is, that's not flesh. That's God using man. Lord, this word would transform our lives. Lord, I pray that you come tonight, meet every need, Father. Lord, you see the need of comfort, Lord, in a time of sorrow for Brother Donnie and Brother Harry and his family, Father. I pray that you would go there now, Lord. Give them the comfort and the peace, Father, that only you could give. Touch each need here tonight, Father. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. If you'll give me a minute, I want to give you a background on how I got this sermon. I was telling Brother Bradley and Brother JD back there a while ago. I actually got this sermon out of the last one that I preached here several months ago when I was preaching, Who Hath Hindered You? And when I was preaching, I was preaching about how we all realize, you know, we testify where we are the bride. We're the bride. And when I was speaking there, and I remember how I related to finding your position, finding out who you are in the bride.
Yeah.
Not just realizing that you're bride. That's become a cliche in the message. I'm part of the bride. But God has sent a message here to each individual to find out what your position in the bride. And that really bared on my heart for a long time. When I get a thought, as a minister, Brother Terry, some of these brothers will tell you that whenever you get a thought, some of the times it might be a thought of your own. You think, well, I'd like to study on that. But God will change it. And then when God puts a thought in your heart, it's totally different. You can't get away from it. You it just eats at you. And I remember that thought, who are you, just kept coming back and coming back. And I remember coming into service one night. And I was like, Lord, that thought that you give me, I didn't even have a scripture for it. Just who are you? And Brother Donnie was preaching, and somewhere in the middle of the sermon, he read Acts 19. And before I'd come in, I'd been praying, Lord, just confirm that. And when that scripture was read, that just really sealed it in my heart. And but Satan's job in this last day is to get you to not see who you really are. Get you out to fear. Put fear in your heart of what's laying before you, what Satan. And then when that fear comes out, that blocks any revelation you have of finding out who you are. And that's Satan's job. And while I was studying this and I was putting this down the other day, I thought of the eagle in the chicken yard. I don't know why that thought came to me. And I just, that eagle never really knew who he was. He was in a chicken yard, but he never realized who he was, even when he first heard the scream. Just when he heard the scream, he didn't really realize yet who he was. But he knew it was different. That scream got him thinking. But when the voice that let out the scream told him who he was, then began to realize, I don't belong here. If you ever realize who you are, and you realize that you don't belong here, you'll have a greater desire to get out. That's when you'll see the bride begin to move, you know, and we identify ourselves. People will identify themselves with their homes, their jobs, their families. All that's good. All that's good. But God wants us to see past this flesh. God wants us to see past who we are. So how does God see for us who we really are? How does He see us? How does God look at us? Does He look at Brother Terry? Says, Brother, that's Terry Horn. Does God look at that way? Does He see it's Keith Phillips? It's nowhere near the way God thinks. It's nowhere near. There was a thought that God had of you before the foundation of the world, and He still sees that thought. He still sees. He don't see the flesh. Brother Branham said in God the mystery, in Christ the mystery, he made the statement. That's where Brother Branham made the statement. The bride recognized who she is. She'll get out of here. Like I said, we've made that a cliche. We've identified with a body move instead of an individual and falling into place in this body. That's my desire. I'm glad I'm bride. It tickles me to death that I'm a member of the bride. But I've got to think past that. I've got to find my position. You've got to find your position in the bride. So when Brother Branham was saying that we've got to get past that fear that you don't know who you are. How are you going to get it? People get stuck on, I'm the bride, and then they go on with their life. I'm the bride, and they go on with their life. There's nothing greater than being the bride. But finding your position in the bride. In the future home, Brother Branham said, in the future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride. If you are the bride, and the bride is part of the husband, the only place you'll ever recognize is recognize what part of that husband, that word you are. You can't recognize being the bride, or you can't recognize being the bride. You have to recognize your position. Your position is different than mine. Everybody's walk is different. Everybody's walk is by the word, but everybody's walk is different. You got to walk in the place that God puts you. When I was preaching here before, on a football team, you can't be a lineman and decide you want to play quarterback. It don't work that way. You're going to, moving out of position, you're going to cause your team to lose. What if we get to the place that we all get stuck on, I'm in the bride, and then we go about our daily lives? Nobody tries to find their position. What if nobody tries to find their position in the bride? To find out what God wants for them to do. I was telling Brother Walt earlier, this message right here has spoke to me more than any message that I've ever preached. Compared to some brothers, I haven't preached a lot, but this right here has got me a greater desire to see who I am. See who I am in Christ. When I see myself different, I'm going to see you different. When I see what God wants for me, my light can shine a little different for you. And I pray that we could all see that way. It's not enough to say that you know God. It's not enough to say God knows you. God's desire is that you know God in you, in yourself. It's wonderful to know God. But if you don't know who you are, what if God puts you in a trial? What if you got a test coming your way and you don't realize what God has made you? God has made you more than conqueror. God has made you an overcomer. He's made you able to overcome anything that comes your way, and yet you can't recognize it. You can't recognize the tools that God gave you for that. You can't recognize the power that you have in the Word because you fail to see your place in the bride. It could be that one little thing that keeps us from overcoming our trials. We get so burdened down because we go through trial after trial after trial, and we think it's this huge sin in your life. You think it's something major. The devil beats you, and all it is you recognizing your position. And all it is a little revelation that God gives you. This is who I made you. This is who I want you to be. All I want from you is for you to see it.
Amen.
It's just one little thing. And it's Satan trying to blind you. Satan knows that he is not going to tell you that you're not bride. He's not going to tell you this word is wrong. Because you can always take Satan back to the place where you got saved, where you got the Holy Ghost. So he's not going to tell you what you believe in is a lie. He's not going to tell you that God's not real. All he has to do is blind you to who you really are.
Come on.
If you go into battle and you got a sword but you don't know how to use it, you got a spear but you don't know how to use it, you got a shield, you got all the armor. I preached a sermon a few years ago. Are you an overcomer? You got all this armor that God gave you. You're loaded down with armor, but you don't know how to use it. What if you're in the military? A lot of y'all in the military. They handed you a gun, handed you a bunch of bullets, said, skip boot camp. We need to hurry up and get you over there. You wouldn't know what to do. You had have no idea what to do. You're putting thrown in front of the enemy without anybody telling you who you are, what you're supposed to be doing, and how to use what you got.
Right. That's good.
You don't realize the power that we have as the bride. I'm going to read you a quote here in a minute, what Brother Branham said, the power that you have. I've never read it before. But if we ever get to the point to realize as the bride of Christ, because everybody believes that the bride is Christ in flesh.
Yeah.
We're Christ in flesh. So will not Christ in flesh do what Christ did when Christ was here before? The same power that God had, would not the bride have? So why don't we use it? Why don't we see that we are God in flesh? Why can't we see that we are Christ in flesh? It's the bridegroom working through the bride. It's a little thing of Satan put the scales over your eyes. You look in the mirror and you can't see nothing. It's a revelation. In 61, Brother Branham preached. I made these words big and I still can't see them. That's pretty bad when 18 fawn ain't big enough. In 61, he preached, thy house. Well, you're talking about Jupiter and Mars and these stars that you see now. Well, my, think about 100. He says 186,000 miles per second. And take 120 years. By 1 second, 186,000, break it down to 120 million years. That's then what do you got? That's miles. Oh, my. It makes us feel like, you're just see. He says, and then beyond that, just as many moon and stars. That's past all that, 100 million years. There's more behind that. And he holds them with the power of his own word. God holds them with the power of his own word. So what can you do? You claim you have God. You claim that's who you are, a child of God. That's what we're speaking of. Who are you? You're a child of God. That's your testimony. God holds them with the power of his own word. And the very same thing that holds them is in you as a Christian.
Amen.
See, there you are. Brother Branham says, that's who you are. If that ever came to revelation to every single member of this bride, we'd be gone. That's a revelation of who we are. That's the bride getting revelation of who she really is. The world would have no idea what to do with such power.
Amen. Read your brother.
When you got that much power, we hold it back. You know, we say this all the time. When you get sick, you run to the doctor. You take a pill, you do all this, and you got problems in your life and financial problems. Instead of going to God, you run the bank and all these kind of things. You don't realize. You know, Brother Branham, the Bible tells us, come boldly before the throne. Come boldly. Look at Esther. I might be off here, but I seriously don't think Esther, even after she was made queen, realized who she was yet. Her pastor Mordecai had to tell her to go before the throne. Your people are being killed. Your people are going to be murdered. She didn't know what to do. Mordecai said, go to the king. But she still didn't come boldly. She crawled up on her hands and knees. That's her husband sitting there. But when she realized who she was, she did not. I was thinking of sitting in the back a while ago. She did not make her request known yet. What did she ask the king for? Fellowship. She said, I want to fellowship with you. I want to prepare a meal for you. We're going to get towards the end. And you know me, every time I preach, I jump everywhere. But we're going to get into that fellowship part. But she asked the king for fellowship first. As the bride, you know, we realize, hey, I'm a child of God. As soon as you got a need, it's ask. Ask this, ask that. Everything you do, you ask for everything. Gimme. Do you ever give back? Do we ever give fellowship? We can learn a small lesson from Esther here. When he reached out the scepter to her, she didn't say, oh, great king, they're murdering my people. Can you go save them? She said, let me prepare you a meal. Let me serve you a little bit. Let me give you a little fellowship. She realized who she was, and she knew that if she had fellowship with him, she would get her request granted. So realize, if we could realize the power in us, you're the queen of heaven.
Amen.
Why are you walking around with a long face? Why we walk around defeated all the time? The queen of heaven. And you think yourself insignificant. You think down of yourself. When you go down to pray, do you say, Lord, I'm just pitiful. I can't do nothing. Why would you tell God, hey, I'm your queen, but I'm nothing? Who you are is a revelation. Who you are is a queen of heaven. If you can see it. I don't know about y'all, but I'm tired of being here. I hate this place. And maybe I might be the last one to get the revelation who I am. But I pray this right here is hurrying me up. I pray that God is talking to me through this, that I can find out my position, my place. And you tonight, when you go home, and tomorrow, every day that you live, I want to get out of here, so please pray for a revelation of your position.
Amen.
That God will reveal to you. If you don't want to leave, that's fine, but pray God gives you the revelation so I can. You look at people in the world today, they'll sell anything they have. There's people that would give millions to go off on a journey. I want to find myself. I want to find out who I really am. They'll leave their wives, their families, their jobs. Have some psychiatrist get thousands of dollars to tell them who they are. And in the end, what are they? Dirty, stinking, rotten flesh. That's all they're going to find out. No matter what some psychiatrist tells you, some doctor, no matter how much money you spend, if you're not looking right here, you'll never find out who you are.
Amen.
And I pray God reveals that to me. We sing the song all the time, who am I? And that's not what I'm preaching about tonight. You know, we preach about who am I in regard to our worthiness to Him or His undying grace to us. It's not that. It's about a position. It's about who you really are. There's a real you sitting here tonight. There's a you and there's a real you. And I can assure you, if you're under this blood, there's only one of you that God sees. There's only one. And God don't see the flesh. He don't call us by our names. He calls us by the name that He has for us. He looks at us as He saw us before the foundation of the world. This is one of my favorite quotes in the entire Bible. I mean, the entire message. Brother Branham, in 64, this was almost exactly a year before he passed. In Who Do You Say This Is? That's the way he was. He was in the beginning by himself. God dwelt alone with his thoughts. He'll never do that again because his thoughts are being manifest. And that's why we are right here this day That's why you're right here. God is fellowshipping with his thoughts. So you are his thoughts being made manifest. There you are. So you, by taking thought, cannot add one cubit to your stature. You cannot do this, that, or the other. It's God that showeth mercy. It's God. All the Father has given me will come to me. And no man can come except my Father draws him. That settles it. So it's God fellowshipping with his thoughts. So tonight, if you could ask yourself, who am I really?
Amen.
Who am I? Who are you? I hope this can shed a little light.
Sure.
One of these quotes, I don't know if I have it here or not, Brother Branham said, 10 million years before the foundation of the world, you were with him. You were in his thoughts. And so, God is sitting up there. Brother Terry, he had a thought of you. He thought, and the minute that thought of Brother Terry came to God's mind, his heart began to beat.
Praise the Lord.
You'll never express the love. Just in a thought, the way God loved the thought of Brother Terry, you'll never be able to express that love. So the very minute, the very second that God had a thought of Brother Terry, God desired fellowship with Brother Terry. And God says, I'll do anything. I don't care how long it takes. I don't care what happens. I'll do anything to have fellowship with Brother Terry. Anything. So Brother Terry, when God said, let there be light, you were his purpose. You were the purpose that God said, let there be light. When God said, let there be anything, let the land form the skies, Brother Terry, you were his purpose. It was because of you, he said, let there be. He said, let there be man. And there was man in God's own image. Why? Because Brother Terry was his purpose. And God began to speak. And everything began to form. Because God wanted fellowship with Brother Terry. God wanted fellowship with you. And then man fell. Why did man fall? Because God wanted fellowship with Brother Terry. The fall did not take God by surprise. He didn't say, I need to rethink this. I need to do something different. Man failed because God says, I want a fellowship with Brother Terry. And then God had that seed that kept on going through Adam, through Seth, on down the line. Why? Fellowship with Brother Terry. The seed comes on down through David, on down into Bethlehem. A son is born.
Amen.
God's own son, without sin. God said, I want fellowship with Brother Terry. I want to kill him. I'm going to murder my own son so I can have fellowship with Brother Terry. I'm going to murder him. If that didn't happen, Brother Terry would never get fellowship with God. You and I would never get fellowship with God. So why would God do such drastic things? Something so terrible. For fellowship. That's all it was. It's fellowship. Then one day, a man and a woman met, came together, and they had a child. It was Brother Terry. God's heart began to beat more and more.
Wow. Wonderful. Wonderful.
Brother Terry was born and he dropped the seed in there.
Let
me put that a different way. God dropped a part of himself in there.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Right, sir.
He dropped a part of himself. God will only have fellowship with himself. So he knew the only way he was going to fellowship with Brother Terry is put himself in him. His first breath comes. God drops it in there and he watches him. It lays in there. God will never lose himself. God will never lose himself. And as Brother Terry's life goes on, through the school, through the military, through denominations, God's heart still beat. He knows one day, the deep is going to call to the deep in Brother Terry. Because that's who the real Terry is. The real Terry was not Terry Horn. God says, I'm going to stick it in this vessel that somebody named Terry Horn, and I'm going to stick it in there and let it sit down there for a while. And I'll watch it. But man, God's like, I can't wait. I can't wait. Because that's who he really was. God in flesh. I always thought of the woman of the well. I was reading the scripture. The woman in the well before, Jesus was at the well before she ever got there. So she didn't come and Jesus think, oh, I need to run over here to the well. The real water was already at the well waiting on her when she got there. She didn't have to wait on it. You ain't got to go looking for God. You can't say that the Holy Ghost that you got in your life that you received, you went and got. Without the Holy Ghost, you was tickled with the way you were. You were happy with the way you were. There's many of you now look back and you probably had it a whole lot better off before you got that Holy Ghost. Before that, this word was revealed to you, you liked your life. You could say you didn't. Let me tell you, I had a lot of fun before the Holy Ghost ever come into my life. I was raising the message, but I had more fun when I was backslid. I had more fun. You can say what you want. It wasn't the right kind of fun. But I'm enjoying myself a whole lot more now. Let me read this. The mighty God unveiled it before us. Brother Bram said, now what did this? Putting the old scripture with the experience that Jesus was giving to her. What did it? It made the Messiah. And did you notice? Quickly, her sins were forgiven because at the beginning she was redeemable because she was in God's thinking at the beginning. She was redeemable. The only way you'll ever be redeemable, only way, is if you were in his thoughts first. You can't redeem something you didn't have. God's redeeming what he already had. So it redeemed her or brought her back when she seen the express scripture manifested of Jehovah, what he was, what he is. It redeemed her. What is it? What redeemed her? What is it? It was her position before the foundation of the world. That's what it is. That's the it in your life. Where you was in God's thinking before the foundation of the world. That's what redeemed your back. That's predestination. I don't care how you look at it. Listen, Jesus knew she was coming. He knew she was coming. It was impossible for her not to go to the well that day. Don't care what she did, where she went, she was going to end up at the well at that time. In your life, if you was in God's thought before the foundation of the world, it was impossible. It's impossible for you not to have this word revealed to you. It's impossible for you not to get the Holy Ghost. If you were in his thought then, Brother Branham said, you will go back. It was something that God had placed in her before the foundation of the world. It don't matter where her life went. Adultery, sin, wherever. God says, I ain't looking at that. Brother Terry, it didn't matter what you did in the denominations. It didn't matter what you did before. It was who you are. It's because of who you are is why you received eternal life. And when I was reading this, to me, people can tell of some great, and I'm not preaching this as a doctrine. People can take a predestination and make it a doctrine, and that's fine. I can only tell you how I see it. And that's I'm going to tell you how I see it, and it's as simple as I was young. I was young when the first time we watched the film Deep Calls to the Deep. And that said, that little simple sermon, the deep in God out there calling to the deep in here. Because to me, that revealed predestination to me. Because as I was saying, Brother Terry had that seed placed in his life. That part of God placed in his life before the foundation of the world. When he took his first breath, God dropped it in there. And you could say, you know, I went searching for God. I went looking for God. I made the decision to live this message. Listen, people make a conscious effort every day to read their Bible. They make a conscious effort to go to church. And it's all here. They make a conscious effort to live a good moral life. You cannot seek God unless there's a God in there to seek. When Brother Brandon preached the deep calling to the deep, that portion that was placed in you, without that, you would have never responded. You couldn't respond. Only God can respond back to God. That's the way I see it. You can, you know, if you disagree, I'm not here to start a new doctrine. I'm just telling you, that's predestination, how I see it. It, to me, that's simple. I never made a choice to be the bride. I didn't make a choice to be Gary Harrison. He was the one that was blessed. He messed up three times before he got me. But. But I didn't make a conscious effort to be his son. His blood runs in my veins. Ain't anything I can do about it. You listen, they can drain all my blood, put somebody else's blood in me, take DNA off of my skin, it's still going to come up Gary Hare. Don't matter. But I never made the choice. You never made the choice. If God has sealed you before the foundation of the world, you can't say, I don't want to be bride. It'll never be in your thoughts. It'll never be in your soul.
Think about it.
And as I was reading that, I got to reading that Acts 19. Imagine being in them gentlemen's places. The devil said, I don't know you. What if you got up in the morning? The devil's like, yes. I get him again. He's weak.
All right.
If hell don't know who you are, you're lacking something. If God is in you, hell knows it. Hell's going to know it. Devil's going to know it. Could you imagine those guys? If Satan was to look at, when they said, we cast these out in Jesus' name, in the name of Paul, and the devil says, I don't know you. I don't know who I'd rather hear that from. God say, I don't know you, or Satan say, I don't know you. I guess both's as bad as the other brother. But imagine in your life not having the Holy Ghost and you go out and try to venture without authority because you've never gotten the revelation of who you are. It's a scary thought. But I want all of hell to know who I am. I want all of hell to shake when I get up. And I believe that for all of us. You know, hell ought to tremble when you get up. Hell ought to wish you could sleep for 24 hours. Hey, listen, I think a child of God could fight the devil in his sleep. Don't matter if you're asleep or awake. Because that's Satan's job. Satan's job is to keep you from seeing who you are. If he can keep you convinced that you're nothing, if he can keep you down, discouraged, hey, those are blinders. Those are blinders that Satan puts on you. If you can't see who you are, if you can't see the Word, you can't see your brother, your sister, he's doing his job. He's doing his job. He, like I said earlier, he's not going to convince you this Word's not true. He's not going to convince you of that. He never will. but long as you don't see yourself in it, he don't care how much of it you see. He'll put things in your life. I think I've said this here before, last time I preached. He'll put things in your life. It's not sin that becomes sin, because you put it before God. But your job could be sin. Your hobbies, your sports, your family, your everyday life can hinder you from being the real you. We never get a revelation. We never get a revelation of who we are. We're not asking for revelation. We don't. You ever wonder why? To me, when we come in here, we sit down, it don't matter who's preaching. It's like me and Brother JD was talking before. If people could come in, sit down, and think, God's speaking to me tonight. If God is speaking to me tonight. But we got our favorite preachers. I have a favorite God. I have a favorite God. He's here every time. But when you don't come because your favorite preacher is not here, your actions are saying that God's not going to speak through that man. That's your actions. You would never say that. Nobody would ever say that. Hey, listen. I was telling Brother JD, I believe in honesty. I've been a Reaganite a time or two. I have. Well, I pray God forgives me for it. But I have. You know, that's human nature. That's human nature. And granted, I have favorite preachers. I do. I'm my wife's favorite preacher too. But I've never got to the point that I pray that I never get to the point to think God can't speak to that man. Because when we come in here, each time we come over here, God is using someone to pull the wrapper off who we really are. When it comes down to the rapture, it's going to be all peeled away. Like Brother Donnie preaches sometimes, rapture is on. It's happening. The wrapper is being pulled off. This flesh is being pulled off. Who you really are is being revealed. Amen. So why are we not getting it? Why are we not seeing it? We come three times a week. Are we not letting God pull the wrapper off? Are we not desiring, Lord, coming in prayerful, praying and reading? Lord, show me more of myself. Show me more in this word, because I know the more that gets peeled off of me, the closer I am to the rapture. But we come in, we sit down. We look around, who's here, what they're wearing. Service starts, we criticize the song leader. We criticize the special songs, criticize the music. We criticize the preacher. By the time the word comes out, we've done criticized it. Everything that we're going to get away. How do you expect God to speak to you when you're sitting there with a critical spirit by the time the minister comes up? Listen. I don't know. I know, brother. I love preaching with Brother Gene Terrell's here. Brother Gene will pull you out of your shoes. Only Brother Terry, he pulls. But and there are certain people that you feel pull when you preach. And there's some that push. And it's a push-pull battle. If we can get everybody, me included, when the minister's up here, Brother Donnie's up here, Brother Terry, Brother Darrell, Brother David, even pull them with, hey, I want to see more of myself. I want more of myself revealed to me. And that's what I'm coming for. I'm not coming to hear man. Man will do me no good. And that's what I desire, and that's what I long for. When you realize who you are, there's nothing. There's nothing that Satan can bring against you that you can't overcome. There's not a thing. Listen, this is a temporary dwelling place. It's temporary. You were dropped. You were in eternity in the thoughts of God before the foundation of the world. And God dropped you down in just a little bit of time. But when He dropped you down in time, He dropped a part of Himself in you. And you go through time. As you go through time, the wrapper starts being pulled off and pulled off and pulled off. Each time you get into the Word, it gets pulled off to the point to where it's going to be pulled all the way off and you're going back into eternity. That's where I want to find myself. I want to be able to look in the Word and say, the wrapper's coming off me. I can see it. I know there's still some on me. There's still some on. But it's coming off. God wants to bless us more than we want to be blessed. Listen, whenever we go through trials, temptations, you know, when we say, God, why? Why are you putting this on me? I'm supposed to be a child of God. That's why He's giving it to you. That's why you go through trials. God don't bless you for being good. God don't bless you because you had a good week and you overcome and all. That's not God's purpose. God blesses you because of who you are. He blesses you. He gives you. He delivered you. He healed you because of who you are.
Amen.
Your blessings don't. You're a good boy. Here's some candy. You did good. God's mind don't work that way. But you go through tests and trials, tribulations because of who you are. But Bram said He'll never give you more than you can bear. And He gives you a trial because He trusts you. Why would God trust you with a trial? He knows that's Him inside you. It's impossible for God not to get through a trial. But so many times we suppress the real us. We suppress the real us. And we can't get through it. We try to get through it on our own. That's like getting through the service. Sometimes you have a need in the service, and you try to get through, and this devil just bogging you down. He's bogging you down, and you want to get through. That's his job. Because he knows God's going to bless you.
Amen.
Right.
Praise
the Lord. Read your
brother. So I was saying, he delivers you because of who you are. He heals you. Even when you come down to death. When death comes. Because of who you are, death can only do one thing. Can only do one thing, and that is take you right back to where you were before.
Amen.
And that's because of who you are. And I want to say this, is like I was telling Brother Terry. It's God's desire is fellowship.
Amen.
Not too long ago when Brother Donnie was preaching, I was sitting in the back. Brother Donnie was just wrapping up the end of a sermon, and I was just thinking, Lord, why would you give me eternal life? Why me? Why eternal life?
Amen.
And I'm sure everybody's probably asked that question of themselves. Why eternal life? Why would you give it to me? And Brother Donnie had everybody stand. And when I stood, I've never heard a voice speak to me. And I didn't that night. Never had a voice speak to me. But something as loud of a voice, as loud as a voice in my heart said, He never wants the fellowship to end. It's not that He's going to give you eternal life because you were good here on earth.
No.
Everything good about you is Him anyway.
Amen.
Everything that you are, anything that you've done, how you treated each other, it's Him anyway. So what was the first thought that God had of you in the beginning? Fellowship. It was all about fellowship. Brother Branham said, a fellowship by redemption. When our body comes in tune with God, becoming a part of Him, then our soul can pick up the power of the Holy Spirit to vindicate the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in all of His power and omnipotence. He has risen from the dead. He lives among us today. And He wants fellowship back with His people again. His great majesty, His glory is now spreading forth. And He's desiring to fellowship with His people again like He did in the Garden of Eden. Father and a son, father and a daughter. Desire fellowship. But you can't have that fellowship without love. It requires love. Fellowship requires love. Because if somebody wants you to have fellowship, and you got an odd against that brother, and you go fellowship with him, there's going to be some tension. That's just the way it is. It's uncomfortable. God don't want that between you and him. God wants to fellowship with that part of you that he put there before the foundation of the world. That's the only thing he wants to fellowship with. He don't want fellowship with his flesh. Why do you think Christ came and died and took all your sins? Took all your sins. Took them right back to hell. Why? Because through the blood, the only way God can put himself in you is for you, that soul, to be sinless. He will never dwell in a sinful being. That is sin. God won't touch sin. That's why he took your sins, put him on the sacrifice. And that's what God wants to fellowship with. That was his desire. But Terry, is to put it in you so we could fellowship with it. So as we look down through time, everything he done from 10 million years before the foundation of the world, everything he done had a purpose. You look at down through the ages, the bride is going to be millions and millions and millions of people. Millions. And God had that same desire, same thought for each individual. Every individual, did he not think less of one than he did the other?
Amen.
And it requires love. But that love needs to be reciprocated back. And if God's in you, it will. Because only God can reciprocate love back to God. Brother Branham said in the 60s, in fellowship, fellowship comes by love, and love requires fellowship. If you love your wife, you've got to get with her and talk with her. If you love your friend, you've got to get with him and talk with him. And if you love God, there's got to be a basis for fellowship. You cannot have complete fellowship and livelihood without these agreements. You can't fellowship with your wife, your family, your friends, if there's not a kindred spirit there. There's love. You love your wife. You love your kids. I'm going to tell you, I don't like hanging around people I don't like. That's just, everyone can say that. There's people you don't like. I love everybody. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that don't like me. But that's life. And that's what he's saying. You've got to have that one element there for fellowship. That's all God requires. That fellowship is the God in you so he can fellowship. I don't know how simple to make that. But it's God in you. God fellowshipping with God in you. If you want to really understand, see that clear, go back and watch Deep Call to the Deep. That is, to me, as most simple as it could be made. Lost my spot. You cannot be married without an agreement. You cannot have a wife without some kind of agreement. And that agreement is based upon your vow. You cannot have fellowship with God without coming to God's agreement. And there's a basic thing for fellowship, and that's the blood only. It's been God's way from the beginning, and it will be till the end. The only place of fellowship is through the blood.
Amen.
Without that blood, without the blood, God couldn't have placed himself in you.
Amen.
He couldn't have done it. I always thought of that. You know, to me, when the quote where Brother Branham said that God murdered his son, I always thought, you take a man that's got a son, an only son. Say, Brother Harry, Justin's his only son. I know Brother Harry loves me. He's my buddy. Know he loves me. He'd never kill his son for me. He would never be able to feel that love. So when you look back and you look at God, you know God loved Jesus. He loved him. It's his only son. He was without sin. And God took the only thing in the world without sin and killed it. The only thing that was pure. To save the dirtiest thing there was. How does that make sense? And it all was for fellowship. Fellowship with us. So when you look at what does God want, why is God going to rapture us all up to heaven? The bride's going to come in. And he just wants fellowship. God said, I had a thought of you before the foundation of the world. And when I had that thought of you, my heart about beat out of my chest. And the only way I can have fellowship with you, one is for you to see who you really are. And that's me in you. And I pray that we see that. And like I said, I don't want to be here no more. This world is gone.
Amen.
There ain't a president ever that's going to save it. There ain't a Congress. There's not a Senate. There's nothing that's going to save this place. And I don't want to be here. I don't care how much better they say it's going to be. It's over. And I'm ready to get out of here.
Amen. Glory.
When we get to the point that we begin to see the God in us, I really believe we'll have a higher, I don't know how to put it, opinion of ourselves. We won't put ourselves down so much. You think God sits up in heaven and thinks them poor, insignificant people.
No.
Them unworthy people. I think God's proud of you.
Think about it.
I think God shows you off. Everybody's going to have a Job moment.
Amen to that.
In more ways than one.
Amen.
There's going to be a time when God tells Satan, have you considered Brother Tim Mullins? We hate those, don't we, Brother Tim? You consider Brother Keith?
Go ahead.
I don't want one of them moments, but you're going to get it.
Yes.
Have you considered my daughter, my son? Have you considered him? Why would God do that? Because he's proud of you. He was proud of Job. He wanted to show Satan what he could do. We're all like that. We're that way naturally. When we have a son or a daughter, we want to show them off. You want to show them off. That's just our human nature. I love watching my kids play ball. Loved it. Still do. That's my hobby. That and getting beat by Joel at golf. Those are my hobbies. I play for second place all the time. But I'm proud of them because they're mine. Those are my kids. And they have me inside of them. And I want to show them off. When my youngest, this past football year, kicked the winning field goal here at Hampton, I had more people come up to me congratulating me. Now, I was beside myself. But I had people coming up to me congratulating me. And I went home later that night. I was thinking about that. He's the one that done it. But then got to thinking when I was studying this. It's because who he was. Listen, when you fall and you get up, just the getting up, there's celebration going on in heaven. There's high fives going on in heaven because you overcome something. You won something. When you win a battle, when you overcome a test, I don't believe God's like, well, it's about time. I say that to myself sometimes, but I don't believe God says it's about time. I think he's proud. And I don't mean this in a carnal way, but I'd say angels are giving God some high fives. Because why? Because of who you are. They know, heaven knows that God is in you. Heaven knows who you really are. How are they going to know where to put you in the table if they don't know who you are? It's God in you. God loves us all the same. I don't think that God gives more love to a pastor or preacher than he does to a little kid out here. I don't believe that. I believe when a pastor or preacher, minister, an adult gets on their knees crying out to God for a need in the family, I believe God silences heaven. I believe that with all my heart. But you take a 12-year-old girl on the bus riding to school saying, God, I got a test today. God will silence heaven.
Think about it.
Her prayer is no less than any other child of God. Her need is no less. God don't look at levels of needs because He can do anything. If we could get to the point, I'm closing. If we could get to the point to realize what God wants us to see in ourselves, instead of sticking with the old tradition, I'm the bride of Christ. And that's, I don't mean to slight that in any way whatsoever, calling that a tradition. But we get that way. We get settled. We get settled saying, I'm the bride of Christ. I'm the bride of Christ. Well, is that something you heard or has it been revealed to you? Because if it ever revealed to you, you're going to know your position in the bride. You're going to know what God's desire in your life is. And God's desire in our life for all of us is fellowship. Amen. Let's stand together.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Good preaching. Praise the Lord.
Let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, Lord, when you gave me this subject, Lord, you started revealing and opening my eyes somewhat of what you wanted me to see, Father. Lord, I believe this was for me more than anybody, because you know my desire, Lord, to leave this place. But Lord, it's true, this is a body move. But it's a body move with each one of us recognizing our position, Lord. Lord, and I pray the words that were said, Father, tonight, if some way, somehow, Lord, you could touch somebody's heart. Lord, if you could prick that heart to have that desire, Lord, if somebody say, Father, show me who I am. Reveal more of who I am. Lord, because until that revelation comes, Father, we're not going nowhere. Lord, when your prophet was reading that, was saying that, when the bride recognized her position, Lord, he went on to say, we each need to find our position. Lord, help me to find mine. Lord, if there's a need here, if there's a heart desire from someone, Lord, you know the urgency of each heart, Lord. I pray that you would touch it. Lord, may our hearts cry tonight, Lord, be to show me who I am. Lord, let me see myself clear. Let me see myself as the bride of Christ. Let me see myself as you see me, Lord. I'm tired of looking at old Joe O'Hara. Lord, we're reading the scriptures. Paul, Lord, he saw himself as two men. And he said they struggled back and forth. They struggled. Lord, I do struggle. But I believe you're opening my eyes. Lord, help me to give myself to you, to this word. Help me give myself to this bride. May everyone here do the same, Father. Lord, we thank you for it. Pray that you touch each need in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Harry, sing whatever's on your heart, bud.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Let's just worship him a minute, if you will.
He counts the stars one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore. He sees every sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures great and small. But he knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that
know I'll be just fine, 'cause He knows my name. I don't know what tomorrow will bring, I can't tell you what's in store, I don't know a lot of things. I don't know the answers to all the questions of life, but I know in whom I have believed. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I've cried. He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain. I can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine, 'cause He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain. I can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine, 'cause He knows my name. I don't know what tomorrow will bring, I can't tell you what's in store, I don't know a lot of things. I don't know the answers to all the questions of life, but I know in whom I have believed. And He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I've cried. And He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain. I can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine, 'cause He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. And He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain. Can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine, 'cause He knows my name. I worship You, Almighty God. There is none like You. I worship I worship. I worship you, oh Prince of Peace. That is what I want, that's what I was born to do. Oh,
Christ in you, you think of why? God's undying love. God fell in love with this thought. God fell in love
with who you are, which is Him. So when God had a thought of you before 10 million years before the foundation of the world, when God had a thought of you, He fell in love with it. So much that He killed His own Son. I'm going to close, but I want Brother Harry to sing, "Wasn't That Love?" But God bless y'all. I appreciate y'all coming and pulling for me tonight. I'm going to let my Brother Terry come.
In the town of Bethlehem, God came down to visit man. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? He knew pain and loneliness as He wore His robe of flesh. Wasn't that love? Save someone like me. Every day I'm still amazed. There's only one thing left to say. Oh, wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? As He stood in Pilate's hall, He never said a word at all. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? I had the mob you're crucified, but He knew that He came to die. Wasn't that love?
Wasn't that love? Truly was love.
Oh, wasn't that love? To save someone like me. Every day I'm still amazed. There's only one thing left to say. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? As He lay there in that tomb, He did just what He came to do. Wasn't that love?
That truly was love. Came to do what He was born to do.
Love. Amen. Oh, but He rose up from the grave, so I can rise up today. Wasn't that love? Oh, wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? Save someone like me. And every day I'm still amazed. There's only one thing left to say. Wasn't that love? Oh, wasn't that love? Oh, wasn't that love? How He left His home above to die on Calvary, just to save someone like me. Every day I'm still amazed. There's only one thing left to say. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love?
Truly.
That's all that can be said, was that that love.
Amen.
It's truly, what a real thought and revelation tonight. Who are you? Recognizing who we are. Your position, our place. We're not just anybody, we're the bride. Surely he said, yes, that's just a cliche, but I am part of the kingdom of God.
Yes.
I am a son of God. I was with him before the foundation of the world. I'm eternally in his thoughts. I'm going to be there. We're going to be there. We're going to be there. That's what he said. He promised us. You know, we've got to have faith for the rapture. It's going to take more faith than any, because it's going to take rapture and faith. But he's given us, he said, he gives supreme grace in the supreme hour. Everything you have need of for the rapture is in that seat. It's going to be there.
Amen.
But we need to cultivate it and recognize truly who we are. Harry's going to sing as we close. I'm still amazed how much God loves me.
Amen.
We think about it. I'm just amazed.
Amen.
But yet it's true. This little story comes to my mind. I think I told it one time here years ago. Really, what one person says we are, that's really not what we are. But really, at some point in time, there's got to be a declaration who we really are. There was a man, it was a true story in Ireland, and he was caught stealing sheep. And so, back 200 or 300 years ago. And so when they caught them, what they did, they branded them on the forehead with a hot iron, ST, sheep thief. And so that was his punishment, being a sheep thief. And he had to go for years, well, the rest of his life, because he was branded permanently. So wasn't too long after that, the man got saved. Lived in the same community as where he stole the sheep. Changed his whole life. He got saved. Lived many, many years of a real, real Christian life in that same community. And finally, one of the magistrates or somebody said, "That's not right. That's not right. That man bears that stigma of ST, sheep thief, for all those years. He's not a sheep thief. He did that many, many years ago." So he held a town council, if you will, and called everybody in the little town together to say, "I'm going to make a declaration today. That ST on his forehead, it don't stand for sheep thief anymore. It stands for saint." He made a declaration of who that man really was. No wonder the prophet of God in the first seal could say, "I'm not going to call you church. I'm going to call you bride." He's making a declaration of who we are. But we've got to accept that and realize that's really who we are.
Amen.
Because his whole ministry was come out of her, my people. That's what everybody that's in this building, I'm sure, has been called out of systems, the world, or whatever it is. We're no longer in it. We're in the bride age. Aren't you happy about that?
Amen.
Aren't you truly happy? When we say, "Brother Terry, you I don't know if I coined it or not, but we get to go to church." Aren't you glad you still get to go to church? One day these church doors are going to be closed. Cherish every minute. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the service tonight. So thankful, Lord, the words that you laid upon Brother Joe's heart to bring to us. What a tremendous understanding and insight and revelation. Lord, he ministered to us that we can have that revelation. And I just pray, God, that each one maybe is not to that point, which we all are, maybe not all to that point, but maybe some ways far down the road they continually criticize themselves, put themselves down. "I'm not worthy." Well, we're none of us worthy. Yet, Lord, I believe that I was within your thinking. Help each one to realize that. Get that revelation. Serve God with all their heart. Come to church. Live a godly life. Live above the approach of the world. And Lord, one day you're going to catch us home. We thank you for that. Bless Brother Joe especially tonight. And each one that's come out to hear the word of God, we pray that you bless each one until we meet tomorrow in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Brother Harry, sing for us while we go.
Amen. Wasn't that love? How he left his home above to die on Calvary just to save someone like me. Every day I'm still amazed. There's only one thing left to say. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? How he left his home above to die on Calvary to save someone like me.